Okay, good evening. We continue in the Rambam, Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter of Hilchas Matnas Anim, Halacha Vav, chapter 7, law 6. We're talking about the actual mitzvah of giving tzedakah, and the general rule, we said, is you have to give tzedakah overall on a yearly basis, either 20% for optimal, 10% for average. Less than that is stingy. A minimum of a third of a shekel a year. And then and a poor person comes to you, you give him what he's lacking. And now we're going to see exactly more details about this. Halacha.
Are we going to see 10% of what? Are we going to get to that at some point?
Probably not.
The gross and net?
Well, it's 10% of the net. That's all it is. No.
Net?
Well, in the days of Chazal, they didn't have to worry about that. It's the money you get in your pocket. Okay.
And the tithes.
What?
Their tax was the tithes.
The tithes. I'm saying they didn't have taxes. They didn't have, you know. So, for example, you know, if, well, they did. They had Maaser Ani. But on top of Maaser Ani, there would still be a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. But the question is, would they have to give 10% more of that? I think they're ready. You know, what would they do? You'd have to figure on top of everything else, they still would have to give a tenth, right?
Maybe in those years.
Well, in year 2 and 3 and 6, it's Maaser Ani.
3 and 6.
3 and 6, but what about the other years? Not going to give the poor people anything. So that's, Rambam doesn't get into that. It's more contemporary. Anyway, Vav. Ani she'ein makir noso. If a poor man comes and you don't recognize him. Oh, I'm sorry, you need it? Okay, here. I'm sorry. 1 second. There we go. And you don't recognize him. And he says, Ra'av ani hachiluni. I am hungry. Please give me to eat. Ain boken achrav. If you don't check after him, Shema Ramehu, that he might be a cheater. El mefarnesin oso miad. You give him to what he needs right away. Okay, and you know, if it's clear that he's poor, you give him, he's hungry, right? So give him something to eat. All right, that's if he needs food. The guy comes to you without any clothes on or very tattered clothes and he says, I need to be clothed. Okay, that's already another story. You check after him. Maybe he is a thief. And if you recognize him, then you cover him according to his honor immediately. If you don't have to check after him, because you know it's a sincere person. So the difference between food and clothing is food, you don't ask any questions. The guy could be starving to death, and he could die. As remember, we had the story in the Gemara. And other stories. The other story, the two Rabbanim went to the mikvah, and the guy came out, he was dead. So we don't ask a lot of questions if people need food. Clothing already, you're going to start checking things out, unless you know who the fellow is. Okay, Zion. Now here's an interesting thing to keep the peace. Mitzad Adin, you don't have to give tzedakah to a goy. However, for Darche Shalom, it's strongly suggested that we do. So, Mefarnesin u'machasin aniyei goyim imani Yisrael. We sustain and we give clothing to poor non-Jews together with the Jews that are poor. Mipnei Darche Shalom, to keep the peace. V'ani ha-mechazer al-psachim, and a poor person who's going door to door, ain't he stuck in lo l'matana meruba. You don't have to give him a big gift, because he's going to have a lot of people on his list. So, you know, he doesn't have to become a rich man by collecting. Avol no sin lo matana mu'etes. You give him a small gift, okay? It's interesting, the commentary says, if you look in the Tosefta, it seems that we're talking about the Gabbai Tzedakah who's collecting for everybody. Rambam doesn't seem to learn it that way. He's talking even an individual. Okay, if an individual is collecting for himself, give him a small gift. Doesn't say how small the gift is. You can't leave the poor man empty with zero. Even if you give him one dried fig, shenemar, that's good enough. Why? The pasuk says, "Al yashov dach nichlam." Don't return the poor man to be ashamed, as he shouldn't go with anything. Now, again, you're talking about really poor people over here. Now, of course, you know anybody. A lot of people just walk into the shul here. They're not necessarily poor people. These guys are collecting for yeshivas, so you know there's nobody poor over there. And we're not talking about supporting yeshivas right now. We're talking about
sometimes
poor.
You say that I had an operation or I have to marry off 13
okay.
kids.
Okay, you know what? But this is what we're talking about, to empty him out without giving him anything, right? And that's, you give him a dried fig.
It's more of an insult than giving nothing at all.
Yeah, that's, you try it. You try giving a guy a dried fig here. We'll see. He'll get thrown. But you give him a...
That's what he's saying.
I'm saying they throw it back at you. So if that's the way they want to be, you know, it's their issue. But, and it's not always questions of poverty. It's not always a question of poverty. And a lot of people, you don't... If the guy's saying, I need a meal and I'm hungry, okay, we'll give him something to eat. No one's asking for meals. They're asking for money. All right, and the halacha here is, if you don't recognize him, what's the thing? If you don't recognize him, if he says, I'm hungry, I'm starving, you got to give him. Okay? No mishalachim come here saying they're starving. If they come Thursday night, they want to have some chicken wings, we're happy to give them chicken wings. You know, you have to eat, we're going to give you that. That's what the halacha is. If they don't have any clothes, okay, you have to give them clothes, right? That's what he's talking about, right? That's the real beggar. We're talking about a real beggar. The guy is coming and you know he doesn't have food to eat. That's already a whole different story where you can't keep him away.
You see some pretty hopeless people in Israel on the streets. You know?
Well, again, you're not obliged to give. I mean, there'll be no end to it. Go to the kotel, there'll be no end to it. And you give him a half a shekel, they throw it back in your face. So it's not their problem.
I once gave to somebody on Nair Shireen. She reached into my wallet because it wasn't enough.
He what?
She reached into my wallet.
What do you
wallet.
Mean she reached in your wallet? How'd she get to your wallet?
No, I'm giving tzedakah. I'm giving her some money, and she didn't like how much I gave, so she actually wanted to help herself to more.
Okay, anyway.
But the first thing about the goyim, are you saying you shouldn't be anonymous? The whole point is...
What, goyim? With goyim, it shouldn't be anonymous because then they'll not know you gave. The whole point, you want them to know you give.
For peace.
That's what you say. When the lady, every year the lady comes to my house from the American Canadian Cancer Society, you know, I always give her $5, $10. She's thrilled.
But the Canadian Cancer, they also treat Jews. They don't.
I know, but the majority is for non-Jews. I mean, just saying an example. That's, we'll call it a goyish tzedakah because the majority are for goyim.
What about the non-Jewish
right?
panhandler?
A panhandler, you don't have to give him nothing.
Right,
so you don't even know if he's poor. You don't know nothing. And that doesn't make Darche Shalom. That doesn't make Darche Shalom. Goyim should know that Jews give to non-Jewish charities. And again, in the Goyish world, they're very stingy. If you give $5, $10, they think you're being very generous. And you do that here, you go, Mishalom, give them $5. They're upset with you. They're angry with you. Because they know what you can give. Goyim, it's $10. Give a lady at the door for the cancer $10. Oh, she gives you brachas and everything. So it's kedai. It's kedai. They should know that the Jews give to the non-Jews.
I once had when I was growing up, a woman came to my door. My mother went to get money for cancer, and she said, "Would you like a bookmark?" And I didn't know how she knew my name.
No, it's like a bookmark. Okay, very good. Too bad, Paul, if you're listening, that one was for you. Okay, let's continue. Okay, Ches. Now we're going to see what you got to give. You see by the nature of what's going on over here, what you have to give, it gets clearer now. In halacha Ches, ein po chasin loni. You can't give less than the following to the poor man. Ha'over mimakom from place to place. You can't give him less than mikikor echad, one loaf of bread, hanimkor befundoyon, which is sold for a fundoyon, which is a half a maw. And we'll come to the math in 1 second. Now, if a loaf of bread that costs a half a maw, when, this is the market price, kesho achitim, when the wheat is sold, arba se'in, four saw, which is 24 kavim, bisela, four asela, and asela is 24 maw. So that's a kav per maw, right? It's a kav per maw. So now, a half a kav for a pudyon means a half a kav, all right, for a pudyon, which is a half a maw. That makes sense, right? If it was one kav for a maw, half a kav for a half a maw. But now, we're going to see that that's what it sells in the store. But when it sells for that, the storekeeper takes a little bit of profit off. So you only end up getting... For that kikar, you get a quarter kav, which is equal to two meals. As if you recall, we said that that's two meals. So that's the bottom line what you're giving him. You're giving him two meals so he can eat for that day. If that, and that's what you're obliged to give. So if a poor guy comes and says, I need food to eat today. I have no food to eat today. So you give him, what is it going to cost him to get food? And it doesn't have to be luxurious food, but enough to eat two. And he's saying it was four. It's, what did we say? The meal of two meals, a half a kav. So that's six eggs. Six eggs a meal. So that we already discussed earlier in the perek, how much you have to give, miser ani, things like that. And that's the halacha. In other words, we don't turn a starving man away. That's the halacha. Man is hungry. He hasn't eaten. You have to give him what to eat. If the guy that has a ripped shirt and he says, I don't have a shirt, then you should give him a shirt. That's what I'm saying. Most of the people who come collecting, they have clothing that's respectable and they're well fed. So that already takes them out of this category in terms of turning them away, because they're not coming for food. That's what it's heartless. If a guy is hungry and says, I don't have any food to eat, and you just turn him away, that's heartless. You know, if the guy's coming with expenses of $200,000, that's another story.
So these
Anim can complain, Hashem. Listen, people can complain all day long. People will complain to you if you give them $50 and they expect $100, they still won't be happy. So you can't worry about them complaining. The question is, are you being cold-hearted? Now, Mishlochim are very well trained to make you feel extremely guilty. And, you know, and they're well trained to make you feel you haven't given them what you can give them. But, you know, it's just not tenable for, you know, if you, once you open the door and they all come, you can't give them the kind of stuff that each one would want to have. You know, it becomes beyond what you can give. So, and again, you have tovas hanah. When it comes to tzedakah, you have tovas hanah. You have the privilege of giving to who you want to. So the only thing he's saying now is if they are starving and they need a meal, then you have to give them a meal. That's what you have to do. You have to give them clothing. There's not any clothing, you have to give them that. There'll be other things, but this is where you're saying you can't turn them away. All right? That, see where the Ram puts this halacha inside. You can't let him go empty-handed. He's talking about giving food and giving clothing. And if you say no, then he's going empty-handed. All right, let's continue. Oh, so we're still in the middle of Ches. Ukvar B'yenukum has already explained all these memories. Vimlon, and now let's say he needs to sleep. He needs a place to sleep. So we said meals, two meals. Okay, a place to sleep. No Suleim Matzah Lishol. Give him a bed to sleep on. That's it. Vekesis, and give him a pillow. Litun Tachas Marashasov, to put it under his head. Veshemen Vekitnis, and give him some oil and give him some beans. Legumes, that's the kind of food you need to eat before bedtime. Okay? Ve'im shavas, and if he's staying for a Shabbos, he has no place. Or nosin no mosin shalosh shuris, you give him a meal for three meals. Ve'shemen ve'kitnis, you give him some oil, and give him some nuts, some legumes. Ve'dog, and some fish. Ve'yarek, and some vegetables. Now, and that's if you don't know who the guy is. So I think no one has a problem, but the Yisholim are not interested in this. They don't want to stay by your house for Shabbos and eat food. They want to go home for Shabbos. So, but if certainly somebody would come to you and say, I don't have any food to eat, you know, but you can't trust, now you can't, the guy's is panhandling, give me for supper, you say, you know what, give him a bagel, you know, like, you give him food, that's the thing. You give him money, it doesn't say anywhere you have to give him money. These panhandlers, how many, you know, if they would get food for all the people they're collecting from, they wouldn't be able to eat it all. Obviously, they're taking the money for other things, right? So that's what we're being told over here. Meanwhile, you're makirnos, but if you recognize and you know who they are, they know then you have to give according to what his honor is, as we said before, what he would be lacking. But that's only if you recognize the guy and you know the guy. So we don't necessarily know who all these people are.
Let's say they don't have health care and they need knee surgery. It's not going to kill them, but they're going to be, you know, like, is that...
You're not obligated to get... We're talking about obligations here. You're not obligated for that. We're not talking about... The Rambam's not talking about health care over here. In the Rambam's time, health care wasn't that expensive. We'd have to think about, you know, where they're going to get it from. It's impossible for one Jew to give to every Jew in the world who needs it. That's clear. Let's count up how many hundreds of thousands of Jews need money. How are you going to take care of all of them? Right. And there's other halachas, poor from your city. You know, you just can't, the whole world just can't come to the city of Toronto and ask for tzedakah just because they happen to be a little wealthier. So we'll see there's more rules over here. But so far, all the Rambam is saying is you got to make sure he has food and clothing. If you really know the guy, and the guy is really missing what he is needing, and he was accustomed to more, and you have money to give, you give him. But there might be other priorities which you're choosing on, which we'll see. There are other priorities in the giving of tzedakah. Tess, here's an interesting situation. Ani sheina roitza likach tzedakah, a poor man that does not want to have any tzedakah, and he's hurting himself by not taking the tzedakah. A proud man who's starving to death, and you want to give him a meal, he's not taking a meal. Right? Now we got to do something. We can't say, well, it's not my problem. He's only going to die. No, we can't do that. We fool him. We give him as a gift. That's different than charity. Charity is one thing. Guy, it's a gift. Oh, it's your birthday. Here's a gift. Or, you lend it to him, but you never expect to collect it. Okay, so you even if he's not asking, but you know he needs it, it doesn't make a difference. You have to try a way to fool him to give it to him. The usher hamar ives aso. What about a person who really has money, but he starves himself to death? The ain't no, and his eyes are tsarvona, are what's the word? Stingy for his own, on his own. He won't give any of his own money for himself. So yachol man of lish, not getting a drink. Guess what? Ain't mashkichim bo. You don't have to pay attention to the guy. Let him die. In other words, the guy's got. If the guy's poor, he doesn't have. He's too embarrassed to ask. So our job is to try to outsmart him and give him. But if the guy's rich and he's got the money, he's just too selfish to help himself. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Fool him and say, "Here, borrow some money from me. I'm not obliged. He's got the money. He doesn't want to use it. So then that's not my concern." Yud mi sheina roitze litein tzedakah. What if a person does not want to give tzedakah? Period. Or he gives less than what he should be giving and can be giving. Let's say the guy making a nice parnasa, no problem, and he can easily give 10% of his money, and he says, "I'm only going to give 2%. Bezdin koifen aso. The Bezdin forces him to give. And how far does that go? Umakin aso makas martis. They give him rabbinic lashes. That's the way to go. Achiyitain masham dunalaten. Until he gives what they assess that he gives, and he should give it. Now, if we did that, we'd be a lot better off in Klal Yisrael. Go down some of these wealthy streets and say, "We'd like to see your tax returns." Give them lashes. Man. And look one more. The yard in Lachas, you can go down to their property in front of them, and what's the word? Expropriate. Yeah, yeah. Right? You take from him what he should be giving. Oh, this is the nine. Umemashkin also, and you expropriate property al tzedakah against tzedakah. V'afilu b'arav Shabbos, even on erev Shabbos, you do that if you have to do that. So nobody gets away from that.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Let's say theoretically you had a shul, and theoretically somebody keeps on showing up with a penny and he dues.
That is not a question of tzedakah.
It's not. No.
That's not tzedakah. That's different halachas of being part of the community and being responsible to pay for the community. So you say, what do they do? Well, in Europe, it was very simple. It's a very simple thing. If the guy had the money, right? They didn't bury him. So they always knew there was one day they can catch it all up. The guy, they go like this. No. They'd say, listen, okay, when the guys, in the olden days, when people died, it was like normal. What do I mean to say? They got sick and it took a while and you knew they were dying. You know, it's not now they get cancer, they get drugged up, you know. They were normally dying. And they called the Chevra Kedisha. Chevra Kedisha says, "You know, Chaim Yaakov, you haven't given a penny tzedakah for the last 25 years. You want us to bury you? You have back taxes, $5,000, whatever the number is. Yes, you do it? Fine, we'll bury you. If not, gesunter heit." And there were no funeral homes.
You can't post data.
I'm just saying, and that was the way you knew, because in those days it was the kehila controlled everything. The kehila controlled where you got buried, and a Jew would never think of being buried with a goy. And that was like, so you always will get your money sooner or later, you know.
Now they want to be burnt.
Okay, but anyway, so that's not hilchus tzedakah. That's hilchus paying your taxes, as it were,
okay.
And we have to make.
So that doesn't go toward your You're 10%.
That's not tzedakah. So this is what those are expenses. Those are obligations. Obligations is not tzedakah. You want to use the shul's mikvah. There's a mikvah in town, right? Now give away the mikvah. That's not charity. You need to have a mikvah. So those are not things you. I mean, you might get a government tax receipt, but that's not tzedakah. Tzedakah is you're giving to poor people or institutions that you don't have to use yourself.
Tuition.
Again, it's not so posh. It depends how tuition is levied. You can't take it off your tzedakah. That's an obligation for you to educate your son. You don't want it to fulfill your education. You want someone else to do it. In the olden days, a father's supposed to teach his son, right, and daughter. He doesn't want to. Whatever, he's busy. He paid a malamed. You pay the malamed, but that's just your shliach to doing your job. That's not tzedakah. Okay, there were lenient opinions if people didn't have the money to give Meiser. Okay, if the Malamed was a poor guy, okay, but the evidence like tzedakah, but that's not really, it's certainly not the spirit of tzedakah. You got certain obligations, you buy an esrog, you're going to take your tzedakah money? Get tzedakah money, you have an obligation to buy an esrog. Just like you have an obligation to do anything else, that's not tzedakah. You have to pay money to do mitzvahs, that's not tzedakah. Tzedakah means I'm giving money to somebody else who's a poor person who needs it, and I'm not benefiting from it. You're giving money to pay your kid's tuition. You're the beneficiary. Your child's the beneficiary, and that's an obligation, right? Shul dues, same thing. You want to daven in a shul, so you have to pay for a shul. That's all. If you're going to pay more, let's say the what it costs. Let's say if it costs in a school, let's say it costs. Let's say the real cost, let's say, for every child in this school is $10,000, let's say. And the school knows that everybody can pay, so they make a full fare $20,000. Then you could take the second $10,000 off of your miser, because then you're not paying for your kid's education. But the way schools run today is that they run exactly what it costs for the kids. So when you're paying that, and then they have to fundraise the difference. But if you're giving extra money beyond your shul dues, beyond your tuition, you can take for tzedakah. Okay, anyway, where are we now? We're on Yud Aleph, right? Adam Shoah, a person who is a Shoah. What's a Shoah? With an I and not with an Aleph A. Don't think of a Holocaust. Shehu no saying tzedakah yosem in a roilo. The guy gives way too much tzedakah than he should be giving. O shemetzar la'atzmo, he causes himself pain. V'nosein l'gaboyim, he gives to the gaboyim. He's too poor. He can't give them. But he's giving them. Why? Kadesh Yisrael. So he shouldn't be embarrassed. In other words, the gaboyim come, and he really doesn't have. He's entitled to say, I'm sorry, I don't have. But I'm too embarrassed to not say. So he's going to give him money he doesn't have, as it were. Aser l'tavo, it's prohibited for the gaboyim to ask him for it. V'lignos man tzedakah, and ask for tzedakah when you know the guy gives more than he's supposed to do, or he's giving what he doesn't have. The gabai shemachlimo, and a gabai who will embarrass him, the shalmi menu, and ask him, and therefore the guy's got no choice, and he forks it over. Asid lihi paramenu, will be punished from him, from Hashem, because of that. Shenemar says, "Ufakadati al kol lo chatzov." I will visit and punish those who oppress him. Now, what about orphans? Yud beis, ain paiskin tzedakah yisomim. We don't allocate. Force orphans to give tzedakah, even the collection is for the redeeming of captives, which is a very high priority tzedakah. We don't do that. The Avishesomar, even if they have a lot of money, we're talking about minors, right? But what if the judge says he has to, so that people will treat the kids with respect? In other words, it'll be for their, ultimately, it's for their benefit. And the community will respect these children, and they'll be easier for shidduchim and things like that. Then mutter, then that's allowed. Next, gabai tzedakah, a gabai who's collecting tzedakah for the community, lochi min anashim, he can collect from women, umin avadim, he can collect from slaves, umin atinokos, and from children, dover muat, a little bit, avolo dvar maruba, but not a lot. Why? Because the assumption is, shecheskas hamaruba geneva o gozal mishalchem, if you're getting a lot of money from a kid, what's a kid doing with a lot of money? Kid gives you $10,000. A 9-year-old kid, what? A neved's giving you $10,000. Or even women in the Gemara's days. Not now. Not now. Now this wouldn't be a halacha. But in Gemara says women did not have access to cash. It was the husbands, right? The woman's giving me a $10,000 thing. So what did she do? She probably, the assumption would be they stole it from somewhere. And you can't use stolen money from tzedakah. Again, I would not say that's today. But you have sometimes, you know, like some, remember once a kid in school, he's I forgot, it was one of my grandchildren, whatever, they come over, so, oh, Chaim Yanko gave me $50. An 8-year-old gave me $50. You know, if you're a parent and your kid tells that, you go call the parents of that kid. Say, what's your kid doing $50? And a lot of times the kids steal $50 from their parents. So you know, an 8-year-old gives you $50 to the dog. I want to give to the poor man. What do you mean, new what?
Story.
I remember. I'm just saying. Parents are surprised, but that sometimes happens. So that's why you got to be suspicious. If you're getting large chunks of money from unlikely sources, that's not so simple. Okay, but we take a little bit. The common, what's a little bit? Mishalem, hakolafi, osher, abolamin. It depends on how wealthy the owner or how poor it is. It depends if the woman is from a very wealthy family. Yeah, well, it's understandable she's going to have more money. But from a very poor family, it's understandable or not. Okay, Yud Gimel, little priorities here. Anishu Krov, a person that is his relative, a blood relative. Kodam L'Cholodam takes priority over other people. Now, obviously, you're saying priority. It means I only have enough money to give to my brother or to a stranger. Well, your brother comes first, even though you're not going to give to the stranger. Aniye Bey, so what about poor people who happen to be in your house? They're not your relatives, but they're people who are people who frequent your house. So like a Ben Bias, as it were. Kodmim Laniye Yiro. They take priority over other poor people who live in your city, but don't stay in your house. And here's the rule. Aniye Yiro, the poor people of your city, Kodmim Laniye Yiracheres. They come priority from Aniyim from other cities. Shinem, do you know this? It says, La'achicha La'aniyecha, to your brother, that's to a relative, La'aniyecha, to the poor one who lives in your home, U'levyonecha Baritzecha, and the destitute man in your land. So you see the three criteria. Your brother is relative, aniyecha, people who live in your house, and people from your Aritzecha, from your land. Okay, let's just do two more to finish the parak. Yudah, Misha Halach B'Yischar. Here's an interesting, what are guys going on business? He goes to, let's say he goes to Leipzig. Goes to the Leipzig fair. Now, he's going to make money in Leipzig, right? Now, don't you think that there's poor people in Leipzig? Now, not that many people really live in Leipzig because they're all going there to the fair. So, let me preface. The halacha is a tzedakah. For you to give tzedakah, to be obligated to give tzedakah in your city, you have to live there for at least 3 months and be a resident. And then that's the city you have to give tzedakah to. But these guys would go to cities for a week or two, make all their money, and leave. Now, what would Donald Trump say about that, right? You're going to let us come in, they're going to take their money and leave, and not, right? So the question is, can we, so to speak, ask them to give tzedakah for the anim of this city, because very few people maybe even be staying in the city, but all people are making money off of this city, and they're leaving, and there's, you have a right to collect something. So mishalach v'schara, so a guy is going, one guy, going to another city, do a lot of business, make a lot of money there. Upaskalavanchi, and the people of that city, they assess on him, Shalach Sham, tzedakah, to give tzedakah. Stranger, you've been here for 2 weeks, you just made $50,000 selling and getting money from people here, and you're making money. Let's have a traveling salesman. He goes to a city, he's there for 2 weeks, he makes $10,000, people are giving him money, so where's going to be the payback? At least some of that tzedakah should be in the city, and they assess that. Hareza Nosan Elios, he has to give what they assess. Reasonable, obviously, to the poor people there. And we say, because one guy becomes bottle nullified to the rest of the people. Vimhayu Rabin, let's say it's a lot of businessmen who are coming there. Upaska lehem tzedakah. And they said that they have to give tzedakah. So no steam, they give to the gabbai. Now, what if they, but that's a lot of money coming to him because a lot of different people. Now, what happens if the gabbai hasn't spent, given out all the money to the poor people? Ukishabayin. And if there's leftovers, then, and they want to leave, and the gabbai hasn't spent it all, then maybe, you know, so they can take it back with them. And what are they going to do with that? They're going to go back to their city and give the poor people of their city. Now, if there's a Talmud Chacham over there, then yitnu lechever ir, you give it to the Talmud Chacham, and he will decide to give it out as he wishes to give it out.
So I guess that happened once. Here's the refund on your charity. We don't need it all.
Well, if they really needed it, they'd be spending it.
Yeah, I know.
And if they, the gabbai has it. If it's not a lot of aniyim, then you know they don't hold it because a lot of guys gave. Final halacha tesvav. If a guy says in his city, Tenu Masayim Dinar Lebeis HaKnesses, give 200 dinars for the shul. Oh, Tenu Sefer Torah Lebeis HaKnesses, or give this Sefer Torah to the shul. So, he didn't say which shul. And there's a lot of shuls in the city. What did he mean? The answer is, Yitnu Lebeis HaKnesses, you go, give it to the same guy that he goes to. He obviously meant his shul. V'im ha'yaragel v'shaim, what if he had two shuls? Then Yitnu Lebeis, you give to both shuls. Okay, now what if he says, Ha'omer tenu masayim dinarim laniyim? What if he says, take 200 dinarim and give it to the poor? Obviously, yitnu laniyo. So here you give it to the poor people of that city as opposed to poor people of another city. Tomorrow we'll be learning the 8th chapter. We'll be learning about the vow aspect of pledging to give tzedakah.